I can tell that the gourd is working because of the silence. Because tonight the theme is God and gourds, and I can feel the gourd working. And that is, it suddenly got quiet. It must be about 6:45. Right? Oh, we're late. We're late. The gourd is going. I don't know how to spell gourd, but I know what a gourd is. Are you looking at your gourd? Oh, I see, yeah. Some of you who just came into the village or who haven't been to the session may wonder what gourd means. And gourd is gourd. It means, I don't know how you spell it, but it's that thing that grows in the summer, right? And you get a whole bunch of them in some parts of the country and you can buy them. They're curved, right? Yeah, that's a gourd. So the topic tonight is God and gourds. I knew it was coming. That's time. I just knew it was coming, and that's time. That's gourdness. I was going to say God and time, but I said to Walter, no, I'm not going to say just God and time. I'm going to say God and gourds. Have someone bring it. Who will bring it? It's coming. I'd like to tell you a gourd story. My name is Herb Brokering, and I think I have a little cold. I'm mostly a tenor. Tonight I'm nasal. Most of my education came in a country school. It was a great time of life for me. I got through in a hurry, but a lot happened. That's called skipping grades. In those days, you know, you didn't know any better and they put you ahead. But so much was going on that you didn't miss anything. For instance, I don't know if any of you ever had a course in teeter-totter, but when I was in school, we had courses in teeter-tottering. And I'm not, you know, it was a teeter-totter. That's all it was. But it was that. And we had someone who was very, very tall. Her name was Leanna. I can't remember that she ever got credit for being tall. I mean, she never got a grade in being tall. But she was tall, and she could reach things that no one else could reach, even our teacher, whose name was Loretta. And that was very important to me. I don't know if that's important to you, that someone is tall or short. It's very important to me. I guess I learned that in a non-course. That's called extracurricular. Right. Right, it's extracurricular, and Leanna was extracurricular. That meant that if she got on one end of the teeter-totter, two of us could get on the other end. That was really nice. That would mean that three of us could teeter-totter at the same time, and that was most unusual. I also had the great experience that Walt Bowman keeps talking about, and that is the cross. And that was when I skipped a grade and caught up with Eugene Knippelmeyer. And that was a cross for me and my whole family, including his father, came over and shot my dog. All because I skipped the fifth grade and went to the sixth and caught up with his son. I never did figure that out until later. It's called competition. It's called, how do your colleagues feel about you? You know what I mean, sir? Yes, both of you. I say to sir, and the wife nods. If not the wife, it's someone near him. Yeah, right. So, I know all about those things. I mean, I really like gourds. Hi. And I hope you were waving to me. And so this place is like a movie. It's faster than a film strip. And hi, David. David keeps coming. I don't let him say much, but he keeps coming. When he says a little, he says everything, so I don't let him say much. He's like Luther's word called ubiquity. When you say a little, you said everything. Or when you break one piece of bread, you've broken bread with the whole world. So in this little country school, that was once upon a time. Anyone who's gone to a country school is pretty old. Or the community is old 10 years ago. So I mean, tonight is God and gourds. It's a gourdish thing to have been in the country school. It'll come back. Always gourds come back. They always come back. If you've ever opened a gourd, they're really against birth control, as you can see inside a gourd or a pumpkin. They're very generous. So I'm into. This is not a lecture. This is usually called a thing. People say, when are you going to do your thing? So tonight is a thing. This excitement that I like, really, people keep asking, where did you get your education? And I usually say, Greenfield School, Nebraska, you know, in Humboldt, Nebraska. And no one's ever heard of it. I mean, I've been to other schools where I've gotten graduate studies, but the one that I really liked was where Leanna was on one end of the teeter-totter, you know, and Melvin. I must tell you about Melvin. Melvin is the only art teacher I ever had. Melvin stayed in as long as the government required. I think it was 16 years to finish, or 18 to finish the eighth grades. But Melvin taught me to see pigs. I drew pigs. I got first prize in pigs in the county fair, first prize in cows in the county fair. I was very good at drawing horses in the county fair. And I learned that from Melvin. And what I liked about Melvin, too, was that he was very available. You could always find him in the room. You could smell him. Now that also has to do with gourds. It has to do with time. It was long segments of time between bathing. I don't even recall bathing. I didn't even mind that. I'm not saying it in any put-down way. I liked Melvin. He was the only person in all those years that to whom I gave a gift. I gave him a butcher knife. It was a strange gift. I picked it out by myself. I never had an allowance. I don't know where I got my money, but I picked out a butcher knife because I thought he could do two things with it, and I'm still always doing two things. See, people think that I'm on one subject and I'm also on another. I thought that Melvin could probably cut bread or whatever at home, but Melvin and I also trapped together. Not much. Most of my eschatology, that is, having hope or thinking of things to come, had to do with trapping. I would set all my traps in a season, and I would always go out at 5 in the morning to look for something that I might get, and it never came. And I'm still looking for my first animal that I would ever get. But the expectation and the excitement of my little old bicycle at 5 in the morning and all of that, and nothing ever happened. So Melvin led me into many great things that, and he's never been, I don't think he's a professor. I don't know what he's doing. He's probably having a very rough time. I'm going to ask you for a little guitar music, and I want to say a second story, and then I'm going to read with Walter, and we're going to sing a song. And it all has to do with gourds. I know you know about God, but I don't know if you know about God and gourds. And so I thought I should help you understand that theme a little These themes are very, very interesting. Play whatever you wish, Denny. Play a chord. Denny was here early in the spring or summer, and she's come back. I'm ordained. I forgot to tell you that I got through country school, and I got through college and some other things, the seminary, and I am ordained. And I had parishes in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Long Island, New York, and San Antonio. I'm a country parsonage son. From 1960 to 70, I was in the national office of the church, and I was an architect in the education department. They never called me an architect, but I always thought I was an architect. They said I was an editor, but I was no editor. I can't edit. But I can architect, and I can design. I can think of things. And since 1970, I've been in tent ministry. That means you're active wherever you are, and I've been pitching tents quite a few places. And last year, scientists who are in charge of water and engineers had a convention in Minneapolis, and they asked me to come, and they said, could you talk for 25 minutes? I thought it was a church calling me to talk about water because they asked me to read the Bible. But they said, no, they were not the church, they were scientists. So I smiled and hung up and said I would come. It was a very low salary job, but it was worth it because no one had ever asked me to read the Bible for money. For $400, I read the whole Bible. And I read it very carefully and underlined everything about water in blue. I've never learned that water isn't blue, so I just underlined it in blue. And when I got there, they told me again that I had 25 minutes. I thought that was the name of the topic. I did not have a watch because I don't wear a watch, but luckily I had a gourd with me. I had one of those that kind of, they like a U-shape, and it bent around my arm. I held it there because they don't come with straps. It's very painful to lie out in a gourd, you know, gourd patch and have one grow around your wrist. So I brought one and I held it there, and I looked at it and I said, I have 25 minutes. And they looked at me. I knew eventually they would understand, because most thinking people eventually understand parables and analogies. They eventually get with it, and they knew it all the time. So I held the guard and I said, I have 25 minutes. And someone said, you need a wristwatch. That was true. But I had a guard and I said, oh, it must be late summer or fall, because there are many in our town. And I could see that the scientists knew something not only about water but gourds, and they agreed that it must be autumn. It was. So I was at least in the right season. I took the gourd and shook it, and it didn't rattle, so I said, it's not spring yet. They agreed it wasn't spring, so we were somewhere between autumn and spring, but that wouldn't give me 25 minutes with it. But it told me about when we were. I squeezed it and it wasn't rotten. I said that it's not Easter. Some of them looked and thought I was strange. But if you take a gourd, if it doesn't rattle, it'll rot. And you've just passed Easter. Then you can plant it. They knew I was dealing with time. About that time I saw them fishing for their wristwatches, because they thought I was looking for 25 minutes. I was looking for time. I turned on a metronome, and I didn't know how to set it. I mean, how do you set a metronome for scientists and engineers? I set it on my age, 52. And it went. I turned on the projector and I said, since I'm going to tell you about water in the scriptures and whether the Old and New Testament, how the Old and New Testament taught us to feel and think about water, I will run you, I have brought three films on water. I ran it blank. I didn't know which one to run. I said, do you know what water is like? And they all nodded. So I said, then you can see it yourself. So I let the thing run. I realized I was getting, you know, paid for this, huh? I had four records on water. One of them was water sounds. Three of them were representations of water by people who felt they knew rhythms of water. So I let the record player go, but I didn't know which one to play, so I let them go. And the record player went, and the projector went, and the metronome went on 52. I told him a story about a woman who was 80, so I set her on 80. Didn't seem to make any difference to them. Someone finally gave me a gold watch, and I knew I had 20 minutes left. And I read them the stories that I had configured. I had restated as poems. And they were very excited and very attentive because I told them what I had found in blue after I had underlined it in blue. And what I had found was that almost every salvation story, it seems, in Scripture, or whenever water is really a reference in Scripture, it's a salvation story. It has to do with no water and then water. No roses and roses. Flower beds dead and then flower beds growing. And so much water that they were drowning, they had to be saved from it. I do not know what it meant, except they said that I could come back when they would meet again. I do not know what tonight will mean, and it's half over our time together. But I like the gourd. One man, there was a gourd I really wanted for that night, but I had been in Chicago the weekend before. And someone in St. Louis, Missouri, who's been in education for 12 years or 18, he got such an affection for the gourd that he wanted this one that I really liked. It fit my arm. And he took it to St. Louis, so I didn't have the one I wanted. And then he wrote me later that his wristwatch stopped and he's never going to rewind it. That's a shame. And so what does this all mean? It means to me that time is such a marvelous gift. And one way of breaking it down is to wear wristwatches. Another one is to have affection for seasons, as Joe said this morning. If we're in a fall, there are summers and there are winters, there are springs. And time is extremely important because there are rhythms in tidal waves and there are rhythms in your own life and Don't get so fixed by time on a calendar that you could be hung on a paper cross. And once in a while, I do like to take out the calendar I really like. It's one of those 13-sided ones with Walter. I think the 13th side is the company that puts it out. It's got 12 sides. It's a cube or whatever. It's one I can't afford. It's not a flat, You can hold it. It's like a globe and it's got 13 sides and the 13th side is a company. I've got one from 1967. I really like it. The reason I have it is that it doesn't do that company any good anymore because they said it's too old. So I keep it. I like it. And once in a while I roll it and whatever is up is what we take. And you know, when you roll those things, you can't tell. Sometimes you get May in August. Now tell me, what is May to you? Tell me something about May. What is May?
Grass is getting green.
What's that?
Grass is getting green.
Grass is getting green. It's green right now. It is. And what else is May?
Growth.
What? Growth. And what else?
Mother's Day.
Hey, shall we have a Mother's Day tomorrow? Or do we only have Mother's Day in May? Huh? And I have a towel that has a whole year on it. And sometimes I wear it. And it's from another year. I don't mean to confuse you. I'm really trying to excite you to the fact that time is a marvelous gift, and there are many ways to look at it. You can. Not long ago, I was in Montana, and the father said to me, because he felt that his daughter was really too interested in the whole wall. He thought she was, you know, with me. And what we were doing is we looked at a wall, and there were very large clocks. And she said, "That's an alarm clock." And she looked at smaller ones, and she said, "That's a wristwatch." And she looked at a smaller one, and she said, "That tells seconds." What was she looking at? Knots of wood. Just knots of wood off a plank. She was so excited. She thought it was only wood. And all of a sudden, she saw time, big time, long time, 18 years, 4 years, a little time. She was reading the wood, the ring. Oh. And Walter and I can read something about time. I have some that I want to read with you, Walter. Come with me. Bring your chair. While Walter comes, tell me, what are you thinking? You know, tell me a little bit about your feeling, because that's very important to me. What's on your mind? I'm talking about God and gourds, wristwatches, you know, time you can roll, looking at a wall, big and little time. What are you thinking? How do you feel? Is this where it's at? Isn't this unusual? What do you think?
I enjoy your approach to the seriousness.
Hey, approach to the seriousness. I do think it's serious. I think to have a wristwatch is not enough. Or to have a whole year on a towel. What does that mean? Can you get a whole year on a towel and then say that year is over? And what do you do with a towel? And what do you do with something that happened to you in Nebraska when you were a boy? Huh, that's all time, is it not? God and gourds. What are you thinking? Very important. Walter cares about what people think. I do. I not only care what people think, but how they think. And this is what I like to get at. I like to help you not only think about something, but get in touch with how you feel about what you think. What are you thinking?
Yeah. The coming and the going.
What?
The coming and the going.
Oh, you mean the bus. The what?
It comes and goes.
Yes.
Yes,
of course. See, and the bus. See, you do an analogous thinking. You can think alongside things, can't you?
A little bit.
Oh, yes. Well, a little bit is a start.
A seed.
Pardon?
A seed.
Yes. A seed. We're talking about time. She's talking about seed. What has seed got to do with time? It's
gourd.
What?
Gourd.
Yes, a gourd. Of course, you're right on. And do we know each other? No, see, maybe you thought this was rehearsed.
No danger.
No danger. Walter knows me. No danger. I don't rehearse. We're in the rehearsal. What are you thinking? This is important. It's important not only what I'm saying, but what are you thinking and feeling about time? Ah, she says it's always passing by. I need you for drama. She's an actress. It's always passing by, she says. Oh, yes, we do. We do. Do what we say. She's doing what she says. What are you thinking? Yes?
Being is important, not when.
Oh, being is important and not when. Could also say being is important and includes all kinds of whens. Right? It's a little editorial. Yes. Pardon? I know, I said I wasn't an editor. The only reason I said I wasn't an editor is they've been telling me I'm not an editor. Yeah, what? And what are you thinking? Just a couple more? I always ask for just a few more. Yes. Oh, wow. And you're kind of recent here, huh? Again this year. When did you come? Yeah, I kind of thought so. Yeah, that's right. Oh, my. Well, Walter and I have worn out an old book that Elmer Witt helped edit. I mean, Elmer was in charge of a big office in the church when this book came out, and if Elmer would get back in that office, we might get the book reprinted, Walter. And these we're going to read a few, and these have to do with time. This is one that has to do with time. This is not a gourd story. This is a story that says da boom boom. You know what da boom boom is? I don't either. It's just a sound. Da boom boom, da boom, da boom boom. That's called the meter. Have you ever heard of meter? I don't mean the electric meter, but the Why don't we kind of get a feeling on this, on the wood? Give us a meter. Then I think Walter and I can hang in there. Okay, give us a meter, Denny. On the wood, on the wood. Da, da, boom, boom. Da, boom, da, boom, boom.
That's the meter.
The what?
The meter, the rhythm.
I'm not up on meters, but I sure know it has a strong beat.
Like a heartbeat.
Like a drum.
Like clapping thunder.
Like Mexican castanets.
Like the rhythm of tidal waves.
Like the beat of a bass fiddle.
Like a jumping rope hitting the pavement.
Like feet tapping and hands beating the table like a sax and a snare.
You hear the beat in the sax and the fiddle, the castanet and the drum.
You hear the beat in the jumping rope, thunder, tidal waves, and the heartbeat.
You've got the rhythm of the sound.
I feel it. I've got the rhythm.
Capture the meter of the clapping thunder.
I'll put it into captivity.
Lock the thunder into the drum.
And the clapping of the jumping rope on the hot pavement into castanets.
What's the rhythm of the tidal
the
waves?
The cording of the fiddle.
The piano.
The wind cutting all corners of houses and through the trees.
The heartbeat.
The metronome.
It holds every sound to its meter.
Who made the rhythm of the castanet and the clapping of the thunder?
And the clapping of hands.
And the deep inside conscious feel of the beat.
I did. When I made all things, I made them with a beat.
That was God speaking. Not really Walter, but he was in behalf of God saying, I move. I made tidal waves. I made fingers snapping. Will you join me? What would a world be without rhythm? God made the world, and he gave it a meter, a beat, a tempo, a rhythm. Feel the world. It has silent, strong rhythm. The world is made to be seen and heard and felt. Can you imagine if these rhythms got out of step? God would be out of business. Oh, there is a tight inside rhythm, is there not, in his way. I was going to say his law, which is the same, in his way. Well, there are others. Walter knows this book as well as I. We'll read one more, and then I'm going to ask Denny to sing a song that has to do with time. I wrote one on my birthday in our home where there was someone visiting, and she was from Europe, and she wanted to buy blue jeans. And I was her driver, so we went to the big shopping area where you can get all the jeans you want. And she could not find them, and while I was waiting, I sat in a place that had orange and green and red, so I wrote a song. And I thought, what shall I do with it? And it took me 12 minutes. And I sent it to Denny. I thought she might come to Holden, and if she did, I thought she would sing it. And she gave it a tune. And it's a birthday song, which I have never heard. So I'm waiting. That was May 21. And she was here before, earlier this summer, and she's come back, and I will hear it tonight. This will be my birthday song. I never did receive that gift, so it's coming. And Walter and I will read another. What do we got, Walter?
Two on God.
Two on God. Yeah, that's nice. I like to read about that. Okay. Oh, yes. Oh. This one's called Once Upon a Time. Not really. Oh, my. Think of time in this one. Well, you don't have to think of time. You will think of time. And what you will think of two different times in time. Way then and way now. Yeah, that's it. See, we haven't even rehearsed. We never talked about this one, but I know some things about Walter, and he knows some things about me. And one thing that he likes is way then and way now. You know what I mean? That's not even good grammar. Then and now. Together.
You'll be sorry if you laugh.
So, put your mouth over your hands. Oh, no, that was it. Here we go. What are you going to... Oh, just prophesy. Are you a visionary?
Yes.
I am too. Okay, here we go. All right, I'll start. Okay. I see you're looking at the picture.
I'm cutting it out.
Do you know what you're doing?
Sure, I'm cutting it out.
I mean, what you're really doing, what do the people think?
People like who?
Well, people like anybody.
Let's start with you. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a controversial picture.
I think it's a dirty picture. It's a real dirty
picture. Well, depends on how you look at it.
It's one of the dirtiest pictures I ever saw.
And you're saving it?
I'm displaying it. I'm displaying it in front of my best friends, this controversial, dirty, filthy picture.
Like how?
I'm mounting it and presenting it to the council.
The student council?
No, the church council.
That dirty picture?
That dirty picture to the men and women of this congregation, and then to the whole congregation.
What for?
For Lent. For the chancel, for Lent.
Oh, you're kidding.
We won't take it down. When they see it, no one will take it down. No one.
That dirty picture will hang out there in front of the people, the women and the children and the youth. What's the matter with you? Are you some kind of pervert, some kind of maniac?
No one will take it down. They will look at it for weeks and weeks while they sit and sing and stand to pray. They'll even see it while he preaches.
Oh, you've got your nerve.
Everyone's got to have his nerve. This nerve to look at the two of them and him hanging there naked between them. It's a dirty shame. It's a dirty, rotten picture.
Jesus did not escape sin. He was no playboy, no Superman, no middle-of-the-road politician. Jesus lived and lives in the middle of everything. He was born of a woman and came to pay all the consequences of being human. People lied about him, gave him false trials, hunted him like a criminal, tricked him, and eventually they got him. His life was under every strife, every segregation, and he endured every form of sin in slow motion. In Jesus we have the prediction of how it shall always be on earth, like hell, hell on earth. In Jesus we have the promise of what it could be among people like heaven, heaven on earth. The dirtiest and most disappointing picture in the world is the picture of the Son of Man suffering and dying. The picture is continually reprinted in all the black and white pictures of suffering and dying in the south and the north and anywhere. There are many, many pictures, dirty and inhuman, in every newspaper. They need to be hung in the walls of the chancel so that all church councils can see them and so that the congregations can do something about the dirty pictures like that, as vicious as pornography. Amen. When you take then and now, and there and here, there and here is spatial. I'm sure you got that. Gourds not only like time, they like space. You've got to put a gourd in the ground. They look for it. And then and there, and Jesus' day and my day, your day, that day, they look for each other, just like a gourd looks for ground and looks for sun and looks for rain. You understand that, don't you? Yeah, I know. You really do. You really do understand that. No one has taken that from you, I can tell. I mean, for years people tried to take that from me, but I can see. You understand? Yeah, my goodness. You all get an A. May I hold this? You explain what you want to.
Oh, it's just not exactly the way you sent it to me, so I'll be editing on the spot.
You're going to be editing on the spot? Mm-hmm. That's right. This is my original. This is my first copy, my second copy, and you got my third.
And I got the good one.
You got the last one. Can you find your way through this?
Yeah. You'll have to turn it.
I will have to turn it. Is there another verse over here? Okay, fine. Why don't you tell us about the song, read some of the lines, and give us some ideas, okay? I'll hold it for you.
Okay. It's basically about colors, and it reminds me a lot of Holden. I don't know if it was meant to, but he talks about baby chipmunks and children's faces, and the heat of day. Our highest noon, which we haven't seen a lot of.
The highest noon. Walter keeps promising us the highest noon. Yeah. The highest noon means sun, does it not? Yes, it does to me too.
What's the same moon? And shooting comets, which there were a lot of last year when I was here.
Shooting comets, yes, of course. You see them mostly in the jacuzzi.
You do, and monarch butterflies.
Yes.
And eagles, which people tell me they've seen, which I would love to see.
Fine, it's all here. Fine.
It's all about colors and
holes. Yes, right. And I was sitting in this little tiny store where they sold hot dogs, and the only thing I could find in there other than hot dogs were these colors I wrote about. So I broke through the colors and found Holden, and now we're going to hear a premiere. See? For I guess for all of us. Certainly.
Let me give you a cue.
A cue, yeah. What would the cue be?
Okay.
All right, fine. All right. Shadow of the moon. voice and the low and high. Hey, thank you, Denny. That's nice. We have a little time. I'd just like to have Denny get ready to play Angel of Holden, at least the first three lines, and then we can taper off, and while Walter and I read the next one, you play Angel of Holden kind of softly behind it. Just sing about three lines, but tell us while you get ready for it who you are and where you sing this song.
I don't sing.
Angel of Holden, where you sang it? Okay, well, you quit in June, but where did you sing it?
I'm from Auburn, California, which is outside of Sacramento.
Why don't you play behind us? This is kind of nice.
Okay. I don't know if I can talk
it. Oh, sure you can. You can tell.
I sing in a dinner house, or I did sing in a dinner house.
Can't you imagine your pastors doing this with Denny behind them? I'm Pastor Schmidt.
And
from Holy Trinity. Tell us the first three lines, just tell us the words, the ones that you'll sing, and then you move on.
Angel of Holden, in old copper mine, moon in the saddle.
Moon in the saddle.
Moonlight divine.
Moonlight divine. Give us two more lines.
Come to bewitch us.
Come to bewitch us.
In showers of stars.
In showers of stars.
Come and bewitch us.
Come and bewitch us.
In flowers and stars.
In flowers and stars. And then you kind of go off and the music part, and Walter and I will read to it, okay? Well, how does it go? What are the words again?
Angel of Holden.
Angel of Holden.
In old
copper mine. I mean, there is an angel around here, maybe more than one. Someone heard that I had written this, and she said the other day she thought she saw it at 7 in the morning. And what was the next line?
Moon in a saddle.
Moonlight divine.
Come to bewitch
me.
Us
in showers and stars.
Come to bewitch us.
In flowers and stars. I wrote those words, but angel of Holden and old copper mine. But I don't remember the words I write. I write them and then I, you know, like Dan and I, you blow them and someone picks them up. Okay. Sing a couple lines, then you're gonna move off and quiet him.
Angel of Holden, in old copper mine, moon in the saddle, moonlight divine.
I think the first stanza. I really like that. I remember the night that I think you, I carried you piggyback, and we went up to Gritz Kemmer's, and we went up to Paul Mons's chalet, and Ruth Mons had a birthday party, and you sang that as a gift to all of us because we had never heard you do this, and this was a kind of a first time. I'm talking about God and gourds, and gourds means time, and do you ever keep track of time? You do. That's why you know. You write down some things, and that's called special events. And Holden is a time when we really celebrate people who sometimes have to go away from home, you know, to get a little space to have this thing called peace. Walter called it elbow room. You translate Hebrew into peace and finally Walter language. It means a little time and place to elbow room. It's called Shalom. I used to think Shalom was a word. I met Walter and I found it's elbow room. Just, it's called living space. It's a living room. That's what it is, Walter. A little living room. That's what Holden is. It's your living room. You kick your feet up and Walter and I are going to read one.
Feel soft. Feel soft.
Oh, yeah. This is a nice one. They all have to do with time. Because the thing in this one about time is that I went down and she said, buy me a Bible. And I thought, oh, good. She said, for my son. I said, marvelous. She said, but everything that Jesus said should be in red. And I couldn't find one. And then I worried.
Buy her a Bible.
Any kind?
One like mine.
Revised Standard Version.
I guess that's what mine is. Just be sure that what Jesus said is in red.
Well, and do you want a concordance?
A what?
A concordance, you know, to look up cross-references.
If it's not too expensive.
Well, how much should it cost?
Just as little as possible, so long as it has what Jesus said in red.
Well, why are you so sold on red?
Because it's easy to find all the things Jesus said. You know, the familiar sayings, the stories he told, the Sermon on the Mount.
Well, how does it help?
It helps to pick these out as you read along.
Are they more important?
What do you mean?
I mean, are the things that Jesus said more important than the rest?
The rest of what?
Well, the rest of his life. Is what Jesus said more important than the rest than what Jesus did?
Come again.
I mean, are the parables and the stories more important than the miracles?
What are you getting at?
Well, nothing in particular. Just wondering, why all the red ink for his speeches when he was really famous for what he did?
Oh.
And famous for who he was.
Well, then change the order.
So meaning what?
Get me one that prints all the things Jesus did in red.
Well, there is no such Bible.
But why not?
Are you now suggesting that what Jesus did is more important than what he said?
Oh, now we're right back where we started.
Oh, I don't think so. What Jesus did is time. That's gourd language. What we do and who we are. Not only what we say, not only what he said, but what he did. That's time language. I will close. A very quick story. Just the other day, a girl about 16, she came into the village and she said, here I am. I did not know her. She thought I should know her because 5 years ago, her mother had given me a little piece of cloth or little piece of wrapping in which she had wrapped a little bouquet that was dried. And she said in the front of 200 people, this is a bouquet for my son's death. And none of you know he died. I picked up the next piece of cloth. It was green. And the woman who owned this cloth said, wrap it in the green. If he died, he needs green. This girl came to the village last week and she said, do you still have the flowers? And have you still got the green? What she wanted to know is, do you still remember me? And I said, I have. And she said when she got on the bus, can I take a walk with you? We have something in common. She's 16, I'm 52. That's Holden. And she said, I don't remember anything from the time I was 3 until the time I was 7. Because when my brother died, I was 3. I didn't get over it until I was 7. I said, when my brother died, I was 9. I don't remember anything before. She said, we have a lot in common, don't we? And she cried and she got on the bus. That's God on gourds. When spring comes, if it doesn't rattle, it rots. And then you plant it and you live off of it. And you go from your weakness and to the bells. Thank you. Thank you.